Well, good morning. Welcome to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We are at KCNR 1460 Shasta Reading. If you want to give us a call, the number is 605-4567. If you want to stream live or chat with us, go to readingteaparty.com, click on radio. On that media page, so beautifully designed by Robert, you'll also find an archive of all of our past shows and guests, as well as information about some of our fabulous sponsors and any other information that you need to know about this show and some of the issues that we're dealing with. And this morning we've got Aaron. Good morning, Aaron.
Hello, Miss Elizabeth. Isn't it nice? Nobody's sick today.
I know. We're back together again. It's been a while.
We've got Nate.
Yeah, Nate is our sound engineer.
Morning.
Good morning.
And we have Bill, our musical expert, but he's in the cone of silence out there working on more music for you.
Yeah.
So you're going to enjoy the music today.
Yeah, it's really fun. Listen carefully when it comes in and it goes out after our breaks.
We tried to pick things with relevant topics, for the most part, having to do with Agenda 21.
Absolutely. Hey, just wanted to chat a little bit about Friday night. You know, we kind of do a lot of interesting things in the Tea Party and try to keep our folks informed about things that are going on. And so we've started doing these bi-monthly movie nights. We bring the folks together, you know, we kind of eat a little bit of food and watch a pertinent movie. And Friday night we had 115 people.
It was an impromptu one-week notice potluck.
Yeah, it was great. But
we had enough food to feed three towns.
Absolutely. But most importantly, I wanted to plug the movie a little bit.
It's called, sorry, I was off track.
That's okay. That food is still staying with you. It was great, though.
It was really
good. Wonderful food. Waiting for Superman. If you haven't watched the movie, I believe you can rent it. Might be worthwhile to pull the family together, especially if you have any kids in the school system. This is all about our public education. I hate to say it, but it kind of brought tears to my eyes toward the end. So.
Well, it was kind of interesting because Andrew and I looked at each other and it's like, yes, that's why we're not teaching anymore.
Yeah, yeah, you and Andrew, both prior teachers.
Yep, got involved with the school to make a difference, and then realized you were up against odds you really didn't anticipate, and that movie lays it out beautifully, actually.
And there's a reason that there's an upsurge in homeschooling.
And charter schools.
Yeah.
And those kinds of things so that parents can get back the direction that they want. And, I mean, no slight on teachers. It's a tough job. My sister's a teacher. My mom's a teacher.
My sister-in-law's a teacher. My brother's a teacher.
My other sister just finished her credentials. So, you know, our family obviously are big fans of education. Mm-hmm. We need to get the disastrous administrative policies out of there, or we will continue to go down the road we're on.
So please take the time to find that movie and bring your family together and watch it.
Absolutely. Waiting for Superman was the name of that movie.
And just so you know, Superman never comes.
Well, he kind of does. I mean, if you miss the old Superman from a long time ago, the one that he stops the school bus and stuff, you're going to crack up.
Yeah.
Especially with all the special effects in movies now, they have clips of the regular Superman.
I mean, sad.
I don't remember his name, but it's like, oh boy, he was kind of fake back then. All right, so you can, if you have not already, I would go to readingteaparty.com. I would click on radio, and I would look at that media page. Make a note, too, that last week we basically didn't broadcast. It was kind of a weird set of circumstances. We recorded the program 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Political Islam. It was with a guy who was here traveling from England who works under an alias for security, and we had this great show. We couldn't wait to air it. So we had the week off last week. We were going to air a taped program, and a big storm came and the station went down. So you'll have to hear that on the archive, and that is on the radio page. You also have the option on the radio page of ordering these programs on CD. Robert will make you the program on CD, which is pretty darn handy. So for those folks who either can't sit through an entire radio program, don't know how to load it onto their iPod or put it on their own CD, you can do that too. I'm trying to cover everything for everybody, you know?
A note on those CDs is such a great way to get information out to everybody. I mean, not only can you email the files, but those CDs have the complete shows and you can give them as gifts, you know, whatever you want to do, but
it's a good way to get the word out. So if you have somebody who doesn't know how to listen to a sound file on the computer, It's, of course, faster to email the page to them, but if you can't do that, you can get it on
and they can
that
plug the
CD.
CDs into their car when they're driving around. And
sorry, I just said 19
it's
times.
So, it's such a great opportunity to take this information that we're compiling and spread it around.
Absolutely, because it's, I don't know if it's complicated, but it is a little bit tricky. There's really a tremendous wall of resistance, especially to the topic that we're going to hit again today.
Yeah.
We spoke with Michael Shaw. I was going to highlight that too. February 20th. So you can look at our archives, and we titled that show Stave Off Globalism with Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates. And so we are back again. Robert has called this program Stave Off Globalism 2. Yeah. We are going to start where we left off. So for the folks who don't remember, I listened to the archive this morning really quickly, the last 10 or 15 minutes, and we had really fast, in the last 5 minutes of the program last time, we talked about regionalism and how that was connected with sustainable development, partnerships with MPOs, and how that leads us into their policies, but mm-hmm. mostly the long arm of ICLEI, the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives, and how that affects us locally. Michael listed off a series of things that we could do to push back on all of this, and that really got a short amount of airtime, and then poof, the show was over.
Yeah.
So we thought, okay, let's start at the beginning. We have him on the line now. We'll bring him in, and we'll start with what is Agenda 21, and then sort of cut to the end and work our way backwards, I guess. So we've got a few minutes here, Michael. Maybe in that time you could give us an overview of you, how you got involved in this and what your organization does. How'd that be?
Well, that would be fine.
And hi.
And good morning.
Yes, good morning. It feels so early today that it's hard to say good morning.
As soon as the sun decides to come back out again, I think that we're going to have a whole different feel.
There we go.
As soon as we get rid of, what do you call it, daylight savings time, it'll feel like we can...
It'll be dark then.
I know, I'm good with that, though.
Yeah.
Just want the old time back.
Well, the question is, what is Agenda 21 in a thumbnail? And, the globalist movement does not give its way to handy descriptions featured on bumper stickers. That's one of the problems we have. But still, if we're going to be in a war, if we're attacked, I'd much rather have it be an attack of the intellectual variety that we're experiencing today as opposed to the old-fashioned gun war.
That's an excellent point.
Pardon?
That's an excellent point.
Yes. So people who become overwhelmed with the parameters of Agenda 21 need to remember that. It was Nikita Khrushchev who said in Orange County when I was 10 years old, he said, "America, we will bury you without firing a shot." He said that later in the same year, that was 1959, while slamming his shoe on the table. I thought he was nuts back then. But today I look around and I say, gee, he knew something that as a 10-year-old I didn't know and that my parents didn't understand. But today America is being buried. And it's happening without a shot being fired. And it's because of this aggressive anti-American program called Agenda 21. In your community, in Redding and certainly in Santa Cruz, it's called Sustainable Development. Sustainable Development and Agenda 21. You can go to the United Nations website on this subject, and you can find that those two terms mean the same thing. So when you hear sustainable development, and whether it comes in the form of smart meters or stack 'em and pack 'em, smart growth in your community, or so much more of what we'll talk about today, you need to understand that it's all wrapped together. It's part of a globalist program to subjugate humanity.
We on that note, we're going to come back in 2 minutes, and we're going to dive into this a little bit further. We are listening to Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates. You are on KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Running, the home of Free Fire Media.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We're watching.
Hey, Michael, how do you like that one? We picked out special music just for your program.
Well, I can't hear it on this side.
Oh! That was, Sting. You know, Sting with We'll Be Watching You.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, we thought that would be a good
Very
song.
Very apropos.
Oh, you can't hear the music? This is horrible. You'll have to listen to the archive because we've got some good ones on there. All right, we thought if we had good music on a scary subject, maybe that would make it easier. So, give folks a thumbnail sketch on freedom advocates, because we really didn't do that last time we talked to you, and you have a great website.
Well, our website is 10 years in the making. We came to doing this website because I had had experience as a landowner in Santa Cruz. I bought land in 1985, zoned for 30 houses, 75 acres on the ocean side of Highway 1, beautiful rolling hills, weed infested. It was, not easy. You couldn't walk through it in the summertime because of the proliferation of weeds. But we began a program of what I call seed bank management in an effort to rejuvenate the native plants. And after 25 years, I can say we've had remarkable success. We've been featured on the cover of an international science magazine out of the University of Wisconsin called Ecological Restoration. But in this process, as I tried to build even my own house, I found I couldn't do anything. Couldn't put it to any use at all. Engaged in litigation that lasted about 8 years, went to the California appellate courts, where the court said, well, Mr. Shaw has been able to, he bought the property and began a process of weeding, and nobody's disallowing him from continuing that process. Therefore, the court ruled we see no damages. Notwithstanding, the land has never been put to any economic use simply because the county planning department won't give me a permit. Well, after suffering with this for about 15 years, I discovered that our county was committed to this program called Agenda 21, and that our county was guided by an organization called ICLEI, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, and that began our study. And then in the year 2000, as we discovered this, we formed an organization called Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. We later changed the name to Freedom Advocates, and began a process of coordinating with people across the country and really all over the world, because this is a worldwide movement. And we began to see that the patterns that had evidenced themselves in Santa Cruz were everywhere and growing. Santa Cruz was one of the original plot plans for Agenda 21. It was a plot plan for Agenda 21 before Agenda 21 was announced to the world in September of 1992 at the Rio de Janeiro Earth Summit, the UN conference there. So that's how we began, and we've just been blessed with great contributions in the formulation of Freedom Advocates. Now we're spread really around the world. We have participants in every state in the union. As awareness of Agenda 21 begins to grow, Freedom Advocates has certainly been one of the organizations in the U.S. that has highlighted that dynamic. What we like about our website is that while it's thorough, you could spend months on our website full time. While it's thorough, it's also easy to get the landscape. You go to the homepage, and there's a series of articles and radio shows, PowerPoint series, and speech texts and speech videos, and all there on the homepage. And from there, you can click down and find just all kinds of information about California, about the West, about water policy, about smart growth policy, and all the rest of the elements of Agenda 21. So if you're a student, there's just a tremendous resource base there for doing your reports and understanding this stuff, causing your teacher, who's a real victim of Agenda 21 policy, to begin to see and understand what America is founded on, and how it is we're off track, and that certainly suggests what it is that we need to do to get back on track so that people's unalienable rights are recognized again in this country. And that's really what the battle is all about, if we were to boil it down into a synopsis, because Agenda 21 does not recognize unalienable rights. In fact, the right to property is clearly abridged under UN Agenda 21 policy, because there it's very clear. The United Nations says that land, as an example of private property, is to be owned by government and its partners. It specifically says not by individuals. And that's why the Agenda 21 policies today are forcing ranchers off their property. There are 50% the number of ranchers today as there were 20 years ago. Ranching in America has become off limits. And that's because Agenda 21 calls for what's labeled the Wildlands Project. And the Wildlands Project constitutes over 50% of the land mass of the United States. And this land mass is to be made off limits to human beings and off limits to resource extraction. Now, this explains why Californians import more than 50% of the wood they use.
Mm.
People in Redding, people around the state, know that California is substantially a forest. But we can't cut our trees. You can't cut your trees anywhere in the West. You can't mine the oil in the West. You can't mine the minerals in the West. Montana, a while ago, was the sixth highest per capita income in the United States. Now that the resources have been shut down, the access to resources have been shut down under the Wildlands Project, Pure Agenda 21, Montana is 49th in per capita income.
Wow.
You go to Montana, and the trees are all dying of pine pitch disease, and anybody who has a job is working as a maid in a hotel, because there are no jobs in Montana.
And this is in the greatest country on earth. How about that?
And remember, Montana is the national treasure. If you look at the driver, at their license plates,
that's right.
It's the treasure state. It's where all the minerals and all the resources are, but they're off limits.
For those, there are a lot of people who will push back on this idea of Agenda 21, because when you start looking at it and it's tied to the UN, and then people read about it and they say, but that treaty was never ratified, so therefore these policies don't exist. This has no control over us because we didn't sign on to it, blah, blah, blah. Besides the fact that you can walk them right back through local local policies and get them all the way to Agenda 21, I mean, I had this discussion with a reporter here in town, and he said, no, all this crazy environmental stuff starts in California and goes to the rest of the country.
Well, you have an uninformed reporter. I'd like to know what treaty he's talking about not being signed. Let's review the treaties. First is Agenda 21. The treaty came out of Rio in 1992. George Bush Sr., while he was president, attended that conference and signed America onto Agenda 21 while sitting on Prince Charles's yacht offshore in Rio. So America, with 177 other nations, is a signatory to Agenda 21. You say, well, Congress never passed and never ratified that treaty. And I say, well, that's what was intended. They call it a soft law treaty. They made this stuff up. Soft law treaties, they say, don't need ratification. So when Nancy Pelosi brought a bill to Congress to implement Agenda 21, it ended up fading away because the determination that a soft law treaty, so-called, doesn't need any congressional action was slow to dawn on her, so it never moved through Congress, but it's been the law ever since. When President Clinton became president immediately upon assuming office, he established the President's Council on Sustainable Development. By this time, every federal department was infused with Agenda 21 policy. If you pull up the Department of Agriculture and Google Sustainable Development, you'll have masterful information about their full and unbiding commitment to the UN Agenda 21 Sustainable Development in black and white on their website. You can go to every federal agency, and you'll find the same thing.
Well, interestingly enough, Elizabeth is holding in her hands
the jobs, economic development, and sustainable communities policy of the USDA. They are traveling the state of California, going to every county, pulling together your economic development corporations, some of your private sector employment agencies, pulling them all together and telling them what a wonderful, wonderful thing the USDA is in that it's creating programs of every possible kind to help every single person pull their life back together after they initially destroy the natural resources.
That's right, because we can't use natural resources, but if we employ sustainable development, we'll all be fine.
Well, everyone who hears that and falls for it in the slightest needs to understand not only does Agenda 21 abolish private property, and that statement from USDA indicates that flavor, but it also denies liberty, because if you don't do what you're told to do, you simply are going to be...
Outsourced?
Outsourced, fair enough. And when you get to the basic core of unalienable rights, that is the right to live, we've got to recognize that in the Agenda 21 written protocol, it calls for an 85% reduction in human population. That includes most people listening today.
Yeah, because we have to have sustainable reproduction. I like that. That's principle number 7 on the ICLEI Charter. That's the part where I fly into an uncontrollable rage. Hey, when we come back from this break, I just wanted to remind you, we were talking last time about regionalism, and you really got the short shrift on regionalism, but that was we were on a really cool thread with that.
Yeah, that's where it brings it local.
So I just wanted to make a mental note so we don't wind up with 2 minutes left and just starting there. So we're going to come right back with Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates on We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party.
Hey, that wasn't the musical clip I picked.
Oh, that wasn't bad, though.
It's funky happened.
Hey, if you want to give us a call, 605-4567 to stream live or chat with us, go to readingteaparty.com and click on radio. And just wanted to say that this portion is sponsored by North State Tax Consultants, super, super tax guys. They actually help you keep your money. Call them at 221-0101.
Yeah, because you don't want to pay too much money in taxes because it just feeds the beast. Hey, so speaking of the beast, Michael Shaw is going to tell us more about the beast.
Well, should we talk about regionalism? Is that the point you want to do now?
Yeah, what do you think about
that?
Because we had like a minute on regionalism last time you were on, and obviously
it is alive and well in Northern California, I'm here to say.
We've been hit with all these federal meetings. We had USDA up telling us how great sustainable communities were going to be. I had a thing on Friday with the Sustainable Growth Council was here with, they did a workshop, the whole room was set up like second grade, and they were talking about how great it was that we were going to have health in all policies. So the health in all policies people partnering with sustainable development, one of their brilliant ideas was to have a fleet of bicycles for state workers so they could exhibit healthy habits as they rode their bicycles back and forth to work, and then we were going to get to install showers in all the state buildings, whether they were owned or leased. And I'm thinking,
at the taxpayers'
expense. Are you people insane?
And, Michael, it just seems like these agencies are spinning all of their programs to sound like they're doing such a great thing for you, when, in fact, I think what people don't realize is that they are creeping deeper and deeper into every aspect of your life and telling you that if they could just control everything for you, all would be well.
Well, the devil always gives you promises, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, the reality is that the sustainable machinery is enormous. And this is why our dollar is being destroyed. It's through the implementation of sustainable programs, totally unfinanceable, totally unfinanced, that leaves America in this huge debt. And we're going to wake up in the not too distant future where we find that the dollar is simply wallpaper, and that we're all scrappling then for life.
I had
and,
to say that.
Pardon?
Or toilet paper.
Oh, Elizabeth.
I'm sorry.
Elizabeth had to go down the drain
I
there.
I just had to do that.
Shame, shame.
I know.
But the
couldn't resist.
It is a serious matter. And,
yeah, Elizabeth.
You know, part of the Agenda 21 program is to bring us under world government. And, you know, what easier way to do that than to destroy the dollar and leave the American people awash in misery? And sustainable development implementation is what is driving the federal and state budgets. It is why we're upside down, and it is why they cannot and will not substantially cut our government expenditures, because you've got all these little seances. They're happening in Reading. I can guarantee you they're happening in every county in America.
Yeah, it was kind of spooky when the USDA went up to Siskiyou County, where they are completely stripping them of their resources on every front.
Especially the water, right?
Yeah, land, water, you name it. And mining, you know, it's affecting mining, ranching, farming, just everywhere.
Now, have your ranchers and farmers begun to figure this out?
Oh, yeah,
they've got quite a coalition up there.
Well, and the funny part of it is, when the USDA did the meeting up there, because we've all talked, the Bay Area spoke with Reading, and Reading spoke with Yreka.
We spread the word.
When they got up to Yreka, they had a spread of food that was, I guess, second to none. They had strawberries stuffed with cream cheese, and I mean, it was like, just, I mean, you know, what are they doing? So they're up there, you know, with the head of the Chamber of Commerce. Oh, this is going to be so great. Come on in. We've got everything for you. And it's just weird.
And the thing is that they're spinning this basically to say that we're going to bring farming back into your communities, and we're going to bring food co-ops, and we're going to have basically a transit system to make sure that you get fed and watered, when in fact they're killing all things that would promote agriculture. I mean, how are you going to grow the food when you're not allowed to turn the water on? So it's like, you know, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth, and everything's totally contradictory.
That's standard fare. It is how Agenda 21 gets implemented. It's over strawberries filled with cream cheese at the taxpayer expense. And then it is a double talk about who's in charge of the resources. And the key to understanding it is the message in sustainability economics. Sustainability economics is public-private partnership. In other words, you've got to become a Schindler. Remember Schindler's List?
Sure do.
You know, if you're not a partner with the Fuhrer, in this case, you're not a partner with the process of global governance, then you simply aren't useful. And you say, well, that can't happen in America. And I say, well, it better not happen in America, but it is happening right here, right now, everywhere. And it stems from the federal government. You know, it's easy to blame Obama for this, because everybody knows he's a New Age or global governance kind of guy. But, you know, it started with Bush. It followed with Clinton. And, you know, the second Bush was fully on board. The Democrat and Republican parties both are fully committed to Agenda 21 policies. That is very evidenced by actions and memberships and commitments that each political party itself has made at the high levels. That's why nobody can be elected president in this country with the way the system works today, unless they are committed to continuing the Agenda 21 onslaught against the American people.
Can you talk to us about memberships before we leave that? What kind of memberships should people be looking on the resumes of their political figures?
Well, I think we can do that summarily. Let's take a look at the Republican Party, because that's where the tracing is the simplest. You know, I can make a generic argument about Democrats, but let's talk about the Republicans. Republican Party is a leading member of what's called the International Democrat Union. It's IDU.org. I've been told that they have rehabbed their web page and have pushed a lot of stuff off here in the last month or so. I have not reviewed that myself, but let me tell you what the IDU stands for and what their website had been saying, and it may still be saying. The IDU describes itself as a right-of-center conglomeration of political parties from around the world. It's led by the Conservative Party of Great Britain, the Labour Party of Australia, and the GOP. Now, the purpose of the IDU, according to its own purpose statement, is for the international adoption of the UN's Declaration of Human Rights as the guiding document for the entire world. Now, that may sound fancy-free to, you know, to most college seniors today, because they're not taught about the nature of the Declaration of Independence, and they don't contrast that with the Declaration of Human Rights. So let's do that right here and right now. The Declaration of Human Rights says in Article 29, subsection C, it says that all the rights and freedoms granted herein are subject to the policies and principles as adopted from time to time by the United Nations. So in other words, under the UN Declaration of Human Rights, nothing is unalienable, meaning that it's just part of your nature and runs with you. That all your rights has to come by decree from the United Nations, and if it serves the UN's objectives to deny those rights from time to time or from class to class, it simply will. You see, the UN is a document that's based upon the concepts that the ruling man is all-powerful, whereas the Declaration of Independence says that your rights come from your Creator and that they cannot be taken away. That's why the right to private property is an American concept. You can only have private property where rights are viewed to be unalienable.
That's a huge distinction.
Yeah, I pulled up this website, and George Bush Sr. is prominently displayed.
On IDU.org.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the leaders for the Republican Party are George Bush Sr. and Republican candidate for president now, and governor of Mississippi, former party chairman, Haley Barbour. Those are the two leaders. But, you know, the IDU has its conference, international conference, every 4 years. It's the same time and the same place as the GOP presidential convention. So what happens is that if you go to the GOP convention, you get police protection, but if you're an insider, you're shuttled between the two conferences. And the IDU conference is kept totally quiet, is masterfully securitized. It runs the GOP. The GOP is owned by an international outfit. It happens to be called the International Democrat Union. Now, the Democrat Party, I don't want to leave the Democrats out here. The Democrat Party is run by the Democrat, what is it called, the DNC, Democrat National Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was set up and modeled and directed by Tony Blair. The Democrat model runs straight out of England. Now, Tony Blair, people don't know, but Tony Blair is the past chairman of the Fabian Socialist Society. And you think back to George Bernard Shaw and some of the early Fabians, and everybody thinks the Fabian Society, which in short philosophized that they would take the slow road to communism rather than the revolutionary road that Karl Marx advocated. People think that the Fabians died out decades ago. The Fabians are who rule and run the Agenda 21 program. So when the DNC was established under the direction of Tony Blair, all the indicia needed for confining and conforming the Democrat Party to the globalist objective as outlined by the Fabians in their masterpiece, Agenda 21, come into effect. And certainly the Democrat Party, under Democrat presidents and when and as they have power in Congress, are fully committed to everything that smacks of Agenda 21.
Holy cow. We're going to come back with this in just a few seconds. You've got 2 minutes to look up IDU.org and see if you can... See if you can calm yourself to listen to the rest of the program. Good grief. You're here listening to Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates on We the People Radio. We're at KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Redding Tea Party. This portion of our show is sponsored by AllTemp Tactical Lube. Jim and Nancy Myatt have created this incredible sort of a lube. It looks like dried paint,
but it's...
It does. And for all of the troops overseas that are dealing with extreme temperatures on both ends and need their guns to work properly, this is a really awesome product. And if you want to get more information, go to RedingTeaParty.com and click on radio.
And you can see all the information about this program. You will see the AllTemp Tactical Lube little ad over to the right that we have on there. And it's a great product for all sorts of stuff around the house. Anything that is squeaky or sticks, locks.
And it's not a temporary fix like WD-40.
No. No, it's this, and it's not graphite, and it's not silicone, and you can't guess it because it's secret, and I don't know it either.
And this is why the microphones in the studio don't squeak anymore.
Absolutely. We were like in a haunted house there for a little while, and then we put the AllTemp Tactical
Lube. And they haven't squeaked since.
And now we're good. All right, we're back with Michael Shaw, and we were talking about the International Democrat Union, and I think that's going to be kind of new information for a lot of folks. We started with regionalism and we wound up here, so can you tie that all together in a little bow for us, or with a little bow?
Well, I first want to talk, and I think we need to give a simple, broad explanation of Agenda 21 and the field that it covers, and then we can tie some of this stuff together.
You go. You're the expert. You hit it.
Well, in short, Agenda 21 has three objectives. And I know you were talking about teaching in schools in your prelude today, and this will touch on that as well. The first objective of Agenda 21 is the abolition, the step-by-step abolition of private property. And if you're a rancher, a farmer, if you're involved in the natural resource industry, this comes as no surprise to you. If you're living in metropolitan areas and you see all of these affordable housing dynamics being built or these smart growth patterns being implemented, you can see from that how private property is being abolished, because these affordable housing units are really government housing units that are going to be stacked and packed with the people they want in there. And you don't really own anything. You know, you have a contract, and you've got to perform in order to stay in your affordable housing unit. And, of course, all of this is designed to be walkable. That's their big word. We need walkable communities. Well, the idea there is to get you out of your car. Again, taking away your freedom, taking away your mobility, and taking away your private property. Okay, so that's the first element of Agenda 21. The second is education. The education for global citizenship. Now, if you go to the seventh graders in your town and you ask them, what are unalienable rights? They'll look at you with cross eyes. They simply don't know. When I was in seventh grade, I knew very well what unalienable rights were, and I knew that that was the magic of the American Declaration of Independence. That was the special nature of the American founding. Today, your 13-year-old has no idea what it is, and that is the responsibility of our school system. And if you are a teacher of schools, and you are passing on this pablum, this program that comes out of the Department of Education, that comes straight out of the UN's Agenda 21 dynamic, and you are not teaching your children about the nature of unalienable rights, then you are not only misleading them, you are betraying your prospects and your future's prospects for living in a free society. Because our children are not being raised as Americans. They are being raised as global citizens. You know, last year, polls indicated that over 50% of last year's high school and college grads, you know, recent grads, last year's grads, over 50% identified themselves not as Americans, but as global citizens. You see, the education system is working for creating the world order. And teachers have a whole lot to do with that, needless to say. And the third overriding component of Agenda 21 is the call to control human action. You say, well, how does that get done? That gets done, and that's why global governance is such a threat today, whereas through history it has not been a threat. It is done through the technological advancements that are made. They can watch us from the stars. They can monitor everything we do. Driver's licenses will soon be biometric, which means that you've got your driver's license in your pocket, and readers in the stores, we'll take the innocent application, readers in the store can tell all your buying habits, and they can flash signs to you, leading you to where it is they know you want to buy. Because the technology that's available today allows for a complete loss of individuality and privacy. And this control over human action takes so many forms and can be implemented in so many technological ways that we need to now become concerned about what we've created, the monster that we've created. If it's used in this form, it becomes not a tool, but a monster. So it's the abolition of private property, it's education for global citizenship, and it's control over human action. And ultimately, that means an 85% reduction in human population. So those are the broad areas of Agenda 21. They're implemented with a sing-song that the proponents call the three E's. And the three E's are equity, which means a new system of justice. We replace the American system of equal justice with a globalist system of social justice. You go to the California bench, and you take a poll of American, of Californian judges today, and you say, what system of justice do you believe in? You'll find that most judges in California today are advocates of social justice. You say, well, where did they get that? And I say, well, I went to law school. You get it in law school. The American Bar Association is an NGO. An NGO is accredited by the United Nations for purposes of implementing Agenda 21. So you go to school today, and you're not taught American law. You're taught the principles of social justice. That's why our lawyers are confused, our judges are misguided. And that's how it comes that these crazy decisions that that put the environment ahead of man are coming down out of courts everywhere all the time. Now, the second E is economy. By economy, they mean the replacement of free enterprise with public-private partnership. Now, if we go back into the last century, public-private partnership was originally called corporatism by Benito Mussolini. Later, it was called fascism by Adolf Hitler. Today, the world calls it public-private partnership, but it's the same principle. It's where the government picks its buddies and beneficiaries to implement the economic engine. And that's what we see today. That's what USDA is out there looking for, is it's looking for its compliant public-private partners who will do its bidding as it destroys free enterprise. And the third E, you say, well, gee, well, let me finish on the economy. The other part of the economy is that international redistribution of America's wealth. That's why we don't manufacture in this country anymore. That's why everything's offshore. We've got to import it back. We've got a World Trade Organization that keeps us from charging import duties in order to support the American economic system. Instead, we have transferred our sovereignty to the World Trade Organization because it is the World Trade Organization that sets up trade policy. It's not the American government itself. And so we've already slipped into this world economic system at a way that compromises American independence and American ideals. You say, well, who in the world is going to support the communization of our justice system and the fascism that associates with this economic model I've described? And I say, well, if people understood that's what Agenda 21 was all about, they would reject it. But instead, it's always made soft and fuzzy when the third E, the environment, is thrown over the top. And so Americans, you know, who care about nature and other species and a healthy environment, get sucked in to this environmental dynamic, which has nothing to do, really, with clean air and clean water. It has to do with the subjugation of mankind by putting nature ahead of man on the government's agenda. So it's the three E's, equity, meaning the system of justice, economy, and environment, that are the driving tool boards for the implementation of sustainable development.
Well, that was pretty tidy, very tidy. And in our second hour, I want you to help, I don't even know how I want to phrase this, but I need you to help us help other folks who not only don't understand it, but don't really believe that something like this is actually at our doorstep. At the close of the last program you did with us, you talked about local, that our pushback was local. The battle is local, enforcing the rule of local officials to support private property rights. You talked about Article 1, Section 8, and we really basically got cut off there. So when we come back, we're going to do more with that. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We're in our second hour. If you want to give us a call, 605-4567. And this portion is brought to you by Miller Auto Transport. Bill Miller and his team transports everything on wheels and some things that aren't on wheels and float on water. So if you've got a vehicle that you've purchased in North Dakota and you want to get it back to California, or you want to send your yacht over to the Canary Islands or, you know, Lake Como in Italy, he can do that for you. Gosh, I hope I didn't commit you to anything in Italy there, Bill.
Look at you, world traveler girl. So I'm looking at our chat, Michael, and I don't know if you have that up or not. I'm not sure if you're a multitasker. But on the chat window here, I have Marcia. She put, I hope we get some hope here pretty soon because I feel like we're in the Alamo.
I think it's much bigger than that, actually.
So what do you say? What do you say to that?
Well, I say that hope cannot spring without understanding. You know, you cannot fight a war without understanding your enemy, and that's as old as Sun Tzu. He says the first step in victory is to know what you're fighting and who you're fighting. Because if you don't know, and especially in a situation like this where it's theoretical, if you don't know what you're fighting, then you have no chance of winning. No chance of winning, says Sun Tzu. So I would say, was it Marcia?
Yeah, Marcia.
Marcia. I would say to Marcia that, yeah, it looks dark out there. But if we don't appreciate the darkness, we will never find the light.
That's an excellent point. And the Art of War is something that I think everybody should read.
Yes.
That's the name of the book.
It's an easy read. It goes quickly.
It is an easy read. So we were, you know, you had talked about our ability to fight this happens at the local level. And we've been stressing with the Tea Party for a long time that not only can you make the greatest difference
at the local level. But the only way that we're ever going to dismantle any of this is going to happen locally. It's, you know, worrying about who the next president is right now is really second to attending USDA meetings and stuff like that.
And you know, as far as your elected officials, too, those that either support or oppose these types of programs, they all started at the local level. They start with your Board of Supervisors, your city council folks. You know, they'll move up the ladder, so it's really important to work locally with them so that you know exactly which direction they're going.
Well, that is right, but I'll say it starts even more basically than Board of Supervisors and City Commissions. It starts with things like your water board. It starts with your fire board. You'd be shocked at how committed fire boards are to the process of sustainable development land management implementation. It's your school boards. You know, if you are following No Child Left Behind, and there are limitations on what teachers can do, and there are directions on what teachers are given, and where you don't have just real American men and women coming in and teaching children the things they need to know, which includes the nature and the history of the American experience, then our teachers are doing us a disservice and not a real service. So it's school boards, it's fire boards, it's water boards. You know, it's all the truly local commissions that need to be taken by American people, you know, and not the pawns of Agenda 21 operating through either the Democrat or the Republican Party.
Well, right here on our chat, we have Carrie from, I think she's from Illinois or Indiana. I guess it doesn't matter. She wanted us to tell you that her city is passing international fire and building codes, and I think we're seeing that everywhere, huh?
Yes, that's everywhere that's happening. But that's a good thing to go and fight, because it's something you can rally people around. People can kind of understand how globalism is coming into your community when you're adopting a global land management or property management code that has nothing to do with the nature of the landscape that you're living in, but it has all things to do with the implementation of global governance.
And you know, we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning.
You have a question for Mr. Shaw?
Yeah. Well, it's more of a comment than a question. It's not just with land use, it seems like. It seems like there's this push toward the micromanagement of personal lifestyle choices. Are you familiar with this whole idea of, for instance, health and all policies?
What policies?
Health and all policies, HIAP.
That's a term I've not heard before, no.
There's this move by a group calling itself the Strategic Growth Council. Oh, gee, another one of those. To try to use the moniker of health as a pretext for for radical, you know, social reengineering. Aaron's a little familiar with this.
Yeah, Charles and I had to sit in that thing, and we had one huge. A piece of second grade butcher paper was filled with dictates on smoking. Going to spend gazillions of dollars to micromanage how many inches we can all be away from each other if somebody is smoking, in case we can't figure that out ourselves.
Well, that is the kind of nonsense that is designed to bring in the hardcore advocates to and the hardcore then pushes the policy, makes a law. And when we're done with Agenda 21 implementation, human beings become livestock. You do what you're told, and you're slaughtered when it's time for that as well. I mean, it is a fully controlled society where individuality is something that is not acknowledged, and certainly no one survives being an individualist if this program continues the way it's proceeding. And health initiatives, like what you're talking about, are standard fare in the broad sense for the Agenda 21 programs.
And if you think about the levels of bureaucracy at the local level, the state level, the federal level, that we all complain about now, how incredibly difficult it is to accomplish anything, imagine if it goes global. Imagine if all of the minutiae of your everyday life is dictated on a global level. How much bureaucracy do you think you're going to encounter then? How hard do you think it will be then to accomplish anything?
Well, Charles and I got a little look at it. Here we were, the health and all policies thing, Michael, is something you probably ought to add on your website. It's capital H, small I, capital A, capital P. And I'm seeing that all over the place. And one of the things that was in the table discussion that Charles and I were trapped in was transportation. We had three guys there from Caltrans.
What does that have to do with health?
And they were being forced to figure out health. So it obviously all necks down to bike trails and, you know, stuff like that. They were talking about clearing brush from around houses. We need a defensible fire space. And, of course, we brought up the ugly reality that we're not managing our forests, so they're going up like bombs and burning down whole towns, and that'll only get worse if we don't manage our forests. But they didn't really want to talk about that.
No, of course they don't. That same argument has been happening everywhere. We had it here at least a decade ago. And this defensible space dynamic is the pit. You've got to remember that if you're living in a wildlands area, and Northern California is mostly wildlands, the Agenda 21 program says that by the end of this century, and they're moving ahead of their schedule for sure, that these areas are to be void of any human presence. So the best way to void out a wildlands area is to burn people out. That's why the fires are so much bigger today all across the West, and it's a result, directly, as you suggest, of not being able to manage your forests. The reason we can't manage the forests is to induce these huge fires. Again, the program is working.
It's working really well. We've got to take a quick break. Charles, you want to hang with us through the break?
Sure.
All righty, you are listening to Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates here on KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta, Redding. Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Redding Tea Party. Hey, we were just talking about this health and all policies. I looked it up, and kind of interesting, it was just, this task force was just established in February of this year by executive order, and here's a little blurb on it. California's Health in All Policies Task Force provides a venue for state agencies and departments to advance multiple goals and to harness the power that state agencies and departments can bring. And if you look at the 19 designated agencies, departments, and offices, literally, it includes every facet of everyday life, everything from the Air Resources Board, Department of Food and Agriculture, Department of Forestry, Business, Transportation, and Housing, Finance, Department of Justice, Community Service and Development, Department of Education, Department of Parks and Rec, you name it. Nothing like bringing them all together.
This demonstrates the effect and power, political power, that has been brought, has been centralized through the process of regionalism. And from the start of the show, you wanted to talk a bit about regionalism, and I think this might be a good segue for just that purpose. To introduce the concept of regionalism, I think we can hearken back to a statement by Ronald Reagan back in the 1970s. He said, "California's day as a horse and buggy political system are over. Today we are going to bring in a new system of regionalism that can tie our, basically for purposes of tying our social objectives together." So it's not just the Barack Obama statement that takes all these agencies that operate on a regionalist basis and ties them together for one big push to direct and control, you know, the individual's health system and health alternatives. The regionalist concept extends to that and goes much further. What happened back in the 70s, 60s and 70s, was the federal government established a dual system of COGS and MPOs. Now, COGS are councils of government, and MPOs are Metropolitan Planning Organizations. Now, there is a COG or an MPO everywhere in America. I mean, every square inch is covered by one or the other or both, a COG or an MPO. What these organizations are super government centers. If your city council wants to expand its boundary, it has to get permission from the MPO. If your city council has to address water issues, it must address the water issues in accordance with the direction from the COG. Now, the Council of Governments, I was in Fort Worth speaking a week or two ago, and their COG represents 16 counties, 250 government agencies, school boards, city councils, etc., all of whom take direction from the COG. So what you end up with is this centralized government that nobody voted for, that very few people even know about, but from where all power and centralization occurs. So what we have today is a system of regional government. Now, what regional government means, we're not talking about little leagues here, we're talking about government, is that regional governments have no political boundaries. It's a watershed. So there's no electoral definitions that can be attached. As Charlotte Iserby, a former Department of Education official under Reagan, and who was there to dismantle the Department of Education, obviously got frustrated. What she writes is that regionalism is communism. I'll add that regionalism is also fascism. But the real problem is that regionalism, these COGs and MPOs, run American government today. The public doesn't even know about them. The public doesn't elect them. They are super regional governmental apparatus. They reflect the essence of regionalism. It's just like a Soviet council. They do as directed from above, and they are accountable to no one. But your city council and your board of supervisors are fully accountable to your operating MPO or COG working in your area. So it's this consolidation of governments. You know, that's what it's called. You know, Council of Governments is the COG. It's the consolidation of governmental authority into a legion of governments that all have to march the same order. And that's why we're moving step by step towards this global governance dynamic. And this is where your reporter is just dead wrong, and a reporter ought to dig in and see what reality is. California is not on its own course. Every state in the union is on this same course. Every state is run by MPOs and by COGs. But your reporter's failure to dig in is what keeps the public in the dark. And if we're in the dark much longer, then Marcia's concern is well taken. Today it is not too late. We've got to wake up. We've got to wake up soon. That's why it's a great thing that the Tea Parties are out there. They're not all good, but those that are addressing the Agenda 21 cornerstone of what's wrong with America are the great hope for America. That's the kind of action that generates the hope that we want and that we need, but we've first got to realize the reality, and part of that is the academic absorption of the nature of regionalism, why regionalism is problematic, how regionalism works in America today. And once we dig into that, we find that regionalism is well established, It's all about watersheds, and it's all about unelected governmental apparatus that direct your elected officials as to what they must do. Now, if you want to be an elected official today, you got to make friends with those kinds of people at the COGS and the MPOs, because that's where the real political power sits. And if you come out as a candidate and say, I want to withdraw the city of Reading from our local MPO, you will have a political backlash placed upon you that will make it very difficult to become elected. But that's exactly what we need, because it puts the issue out in front of the people. And when the people know that their government is being run by secret cabals, almost secret cabals, they'll get mad.
Yeah, they're secret until all of a sudden they show up on your porch and they want to shut off your water or monitor your well or put a smart meter on your house. I think the smart meter issue is a great one, because it brought it to every single person's doorstep. But, you know, Before we go further, we sort of blew by Charles at the beginning, left him hanging on hold, and although he does get to listen to the program, he probably would like to finish what he was going to say and then hang up and go about his day. We had him hostage on line two.
I'm sorry, Charles.
I think that was my fault.
The local MPO in this area is the... Hello?
Yep.
Hello?
Uh-oh.
We're getting a little bit of static. Oh, crud.
Well, I want to...
Yeah, the local MPO in this area is the Shasta County Regional Transportation Planning Agency, SCRTPA.org, if anybody wants to know the name of that. And then they are operating under an umbrella of a different super organization called the North State Super Region. Good God. So those are the names of that are relevant to, you know, of the relevant organizations for this area.
Well, thank you. The citizenry needs to know that, because somewhere along the line, you know, I think it's typical... In the charter of these MPOs, they claim to be voluntary. And I read from the charter in Dallas-Fort Worth of their North Central Texas COG, and it's all voluntary. I say, well, let's just get ourselves out of these voluntary organizations and see just how voluntary it is. Let's test the system. Get out of your local MPO.
It was interesting at the workshop we attended, because they had all this agenda printed up on giant butcher paper. It was seriously like walking into second grade. They had us sitting in little tables of clustered chairs. And
they wanted you to put stars or stickers.
Yeah, we had to put stickers around the room. I didn't put my stickers up.
And then what did they do when you put your stickers
on
your priority?
No, that was at the end. So they had all this agenda up there, and so we started saying, they asked us, well, what do you think about this and that? And so we started saying, well, hey, what about, you know, managing our forest? Hey, what about jobs? Where's that on here? Because everything on here is about restricting, and none of this is about employment. And if we had unemployment, like one of the topics was violence, you know, violence prevention, it's like, well, people wouldn't have time to beat each other up if they were working. They wouldn't be drinking as much. They wouldn't be doing all the drugs. I mean, all the things that were on there could be fixed by allowing our resources to flow and allowing people to work. So we had a fairly decent, I thought we had a fairly decent coalition of folks that were piping up and asking those tough questions, and they said, well, we can't add to any of the things here, but we will certainly take your recommendations back. And at the end, Charles and I looked at each other, and they wanted us to put these little stickers up to show which was the most important thing. And the last sticker went on, and just exactly like I figured, they ripped all the butcher paper down, blobbed it, you know, wadded it all up, and threw it all away.
Yeah,
so,
well, these little show and pony sessions were happening here in Santa Cruz. Oh, we started busting up consensus meetings 10 years ago. And, you know, they learned a lot. As I've said, this area is one of the prototypes. And they learned a lot. They became more confining in what citizens can say in these so-called open consensus meetings. You got to remember that what consensus means is the absence of disagreement. So when you show up at these consensus meetings and you just don't go along, you can drive the consensus facilitator to say, real consensus is not achieved, this meeting is adjourned.
Well, actually, they kept dividing us up, and we had to bring in the big guns. We dismantled the meeting. Good job, Charles. All right, we are going to take a little break here. We're going to come back with Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates. We are going to learn about all sorts of new things that maybe you didn't know were happening. We're here at KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. Well, I guess that sums it up, huh? We don't want to do that. Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We're entering our last portion this morning, and we're talking to Michael Shaw of Freedom Advocates, all things Agenda 21. Good morning again, Michael.
Welcome back.
Michael, are you in there?
I am here.
Oh, there we go. We're like, we lost him?
Uh-oh.
So we've got a half hour here. What specifically, besides attending pretty much everything, since you guys in Santa Cruz really dealt with this a long time ago, how would you say that you have fared in pushing back on this? And what's worked and what hasn't worked, since we're a little further behind than you?
Well, I think that what works is to create as wide a public awareness as is possible. What would be particularly helpful is if landowners began to see the circumstance, because landowners are the first level of attack. If you are a landowner and you are not useful to the globalist order, their objective is to put you out of business. So the only real defense you have is to understand what's going on and not go along with their programs and cause people in the cities then to understand that their future is dependent upon your future. Because when resources are cut off, and that's why they want to abolish private property, when resources are cut off, people in the cities won't have the resources they need to live. And that's the plan. So the starting point is getting your ranchers and your forest owners to see what the Agenda 21 program is, and have organizations within those groups to begin to identify and fight the local implementation of Agenda 21. Now, for the Marcias of the world, I think that to take steps to expose MPOs and COGS in your community, and your transportation authority is, according to Charles, your local MPO, to get on your city council, get on your board of supervisors, cause the public to understand what these MPOs are, and simply withdraw your membership and see what happens. Let the real fight begin. The fight is over the political mechanics that operate in this country today. And as long as we've got regional governance in place, we are on the road to achieve what the Soviet Empire never did, and that is to have an effective Soviet system. These regional outfits are operating Soviets. So clearly you can take steps to cause the public to understand this more broadly, take steps to assume the American system's positions of power. Remember, your power as a politician is always limited, but there's power nonetheless. We need to have real Americans assume those positions of power and put us back on track. And when it comes to consensus meetings, it's show up, know what the consensus meeting is going to be about, cause there not to be a general agreement coming out of those meetings, so that they then cannot walk down to your board of supervisors and say, here's our list of citizen-approved mandates for you to implement the following legislation so that we can further our way down the road towards sustainability. That's what these facilitated consensus meetings are all about. And if you you know, we have at our website Bev Ekman's Countering Group Manipulation materials, and this will give you methodologies for attending these meetings and coordinating between just a few people, and to cause the consensus, that is, the absence of disagreement, to not arise. You see, real politics goes by general agreement. That means we have a majority that thinks this, and we have a minority that thinks that, and here's the minority report. Minority reports are very critical. Minority reports are not allowed under consensus meetings.
Is that why when we start to dissent, they split us into small groups?
Precisely.
And so we just cluster into a large group, and then they decide that maybe the meeting is over because we don't have anything more to talk about.
Precisely.
It's been it's actually pretty funny, but I could see. I mean, the meetings are boring. They're
contradictory.
They're designed to be boring, and so people don't want to go and waste 4 hours of their day. The problem is, if all you send are people that are being paid to sit there and listen to these guys, then they go sit there, and that counts as a tacit vote.
That's right. Well, this is where the real war today over global governance is happening. It's through these consensus meetings that have predetermined outcomes. I mean, don't think you can change the outcome except to cause the whole thing to implode. That's the objective. It's boring until you begin to see the importance of success. And to walk out of a busted consensus meeting, you'll have big smiles on your face. And learning the mechanism for achieving that is one of the high orders in the call to action to save our republic. And failure to do that means they will simply slide along and create an ordinance framework within your community that fit right in with globalist objectives.
Well, the other thing, too, that became painfully clear is the one guy that was sitting at our table, he said, well, we're an MPO. And he was, like, really excited about it. And I looked at him and I said, well, you realize 9/10 of this stuff is here to remove our private property rights? He goes, yeah, you know, I'm really concerned about that. That doesn't really work for me. And I'm thinking, he works in that. He just got out of college. And he doesn't even understand that he's actually part of the problem because of the way they phrase everything. It was interesting, too, just all these tactics. I mean, you just look at the tactics. Here were these agenda items on the wall, and I wish I would have brought the paperwork, but there were really innocuous kind of statements, but they had the full text of those statements in a booklet that they gave us that was never referenced. Well, when you read the full text, it meant something totally different than what the little excerpt meant. So then when we got into the full text of it, all of our questions came from there. And, the meeting facilitator was not very happy.
Well, it was interesting at the USDA meeting that we went to, we challenged them a little bit on the fact that in any state that thrives on natural resources, which are generally sustainable and renewable and so forth, the fact that they are getting in the way of utilizing natural resources is the root of the problem. And now they're coming in with all of these programs to save the problem that they, in fact, created. And the facilitator of the USDA meeting, who actually is the state director of the USDA Rural Development in the state of California, agreed with us. She took a deep breath and she looked us in the eye and she said, you know, I absolutely know what you're talking about. I couldn't agree with you more, but we have to take baby steps now. So they kind of get that this doesn't make sense. I mean, they get that. They know that. And yet they're so caught up in this myriad of minutiae and detail and bureaucracy that they honestly don't know how to find a way out of it.
Well, they could find a way out of it. They could quit their job and get a real job.
That takes courage.
Well, that takes courage, but it's time for Americans to gather up some courage. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, Marcy's dilemma becomes the reality.
Exactly. And what I You know, it's funny, I just wrote to someone on the chat. They said, we the people reporters to attend with recorders at these meetings. And I wrote back that being there is 100% of the solution. The workers from the agencies, when they see us and they hear our comments, you can see they're kind of going, well, I never thought about it that way.
Right.
A lot of times they're so close to the problem, they don't even realize that it is a problem.
They haven't stepped back to get a healthy perspective.
Yeah, they need us there to say something.
So again, folks, you need to go to meetings.
We do.
Even if you don't know what it's about.
Exactly.
Just
go. Public meetings, and you look for words like sustainable and all those things that we've been talking about, and then you start, it's pretty easy to figure out. Or go with somebody who's not afraid to speak out. I'm usually available.
And so am I.
We have Kay online, too, has a question or a comment.
Good morning, Kay. Hey. You're on the air.
Hi, Aaron and Elizabeth.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, fine. I've really enjoyed this conversation this morning. I was just sort of wondering, just out of curiosity, if your guest knows any, has any ideas on the general law, cities versus the charter law. And if that has any impact in falling into the lines of, if one or the other is better as far as, or worse, for falling in lines with the UN resolution.
That's a great question.
So
that's a very good question.
I'll take my
I don't have a good answer for
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Kay.
And yet I can tell you that regardless of the type of city that you're involved in, the globalist movement has infiltrated both types of cities. One may have better natural defenses than the other. I'm not sure. I couldn't make that assessment. But I can tell you that all cities are impacted by the Agenda 21 dynamic, regardless of their the basis that they operate under, as Kay queried. So I'm sorry I can't help with that question. It's a good question to be analyzed under this dynamic. But you know, when the house is on fire, sometimes you don't ask about the construction method. You simply go in and put the fire out.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a fire operating in every city in this country today, because every city is directed by MPOs and COGS, and you know, then you've got agencies like the USDA. You know, we got to remember the USDA includes the Department of Forestry. That's relevant up where you are.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
That would be a huge drawback right there. Hey, Michael, can you hang on for 1 second, and we're going to come back. We're going to take our last commercial break, thank our sponsors, and we'll have our last 15-minute segment. So everybody take a deep breath. We'll be right back with you here at KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back. Join Bad Company at We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. In our last 10 minutes, Michael Shaw, Freedom Advocates, all things Agenda 21. Teaching us how to be bad company for the public meetings. I'll tell you what, that's what it's going to take.
Yeah, it really is.
We have got to be the people that when they walk through the door, they're like, oh, you're here again.
Darn it.
Once you do that, then they go underground, and you know, they will work quietly with your elected officials. So once you expose this in the public forum dynamic, then you need to get the office, because then you need to report out to the public from the inside on how the NGOs, you know, that ranges from the Sierra Club to the Chamber of Commerce, how the NGOs, those accredited by the United Nations for purposes of implementing Agenda 21, how they operate. You need people on the elected boards so that, you know, so that the cover can be blown. The reality is today most people who have been elected to office are mum on these issues, because if they aren't, they take abuse from their superiors. And we need Americans on these boards who don't care about the abuse from these phony superiors and who simply are reporting to the people, defending the people, and preserving the American way.
Well, I know that up here, anyway, in our town, in our area, we have representatives in our state senate and in our assembly office who have staff, me being one of them, who get this and know what we're looking for, and who are really on the lookout for what's happening in these public meetings. And we get all the invites and announcements to those and make those public. So,
well, how about working together to expose the state legislature to these dynamics? Because while that has begun to happen in state legislators across the country, I hear and see nothing coming out of Sacramento that reflects legislative insight as to these issues. I would love to work with you and in order to bring California up to speed, bring Sacramento up to speed.
We'll see what happens. And, you know, the inside of government is a new place for all of us, for the most part. Sorry if I'm offending some political legal beagle out there, but most of us don't know how things happen that way. And so when the smart meters came up, I had asked the legislative person in our office, I said, well, hey, can't we, you know, write some legislation about that? Wouldn't that be, you know, that'd be something we could do? And the answer came back that if, in fact, we wanted to pursue that, that would be great, but it would never make it out of committee. They were told flat out, go ahead and write it, but it will never leave the committee. So it isn't that it won't pass, it'll just never get voted on because it'll never get that far.
I understand, but it seems to me that the California legislature needs to take some heat, because there's no political party group that is more embedded to Agenda 21 policy than the state of California government.
Yeah, and you would think as the economy goes, again, you know, I hate to keep going back to something about wasting 4.5 hours of my life at that goofy meeting, but we kept asking over and over. It's like, do you guys see that, like, a fleet of bicycles for state employees when they just took away the cell phones? Do you see that that's unworkable? Do you see that we don't have the money for this? We're talking about letting out tens of thousands of prisoners with this new,
realignment.
The realignment proposal. We're talking about letting out tens of thousands of prisoners, and this guy wants to make smoking cigarettes a crime 3 inches from a building or 6 blocks from a building,
you know,
or whatever it was. And I said, well, do you think we really have the resources for that?
They've lost all common sense. They don't really come across as real intelligent when they're promoting these things. I would be embarrassed.
You would think that would be a driving force. But, I mean, do you have a sense for how bad it needs to get before, or do they just go, I mean, kind of like mindlessly till the end game is played? Is that?
Well, I think so.
I mean, we're guessing, but...
You know, Rahm Emanuel says we need a crisis to have a solution. So the crisis is being created. The solution is global governance. The solution is human beings as livestock. The solution is depopulation. And these are the crises that they're trying to advance. I mean, not the ordinary useful idiot, you know, but those behind the philosophy of Agenda 21, those true globalists that operate both in this country and outside this country, you know, starting with John Rockefeller, and including so many rich and powerful people. The idea is create the crisis. They have the solution. The crisis is hunger. The crisis is joblessness. The crisis is civil disobedience. These are the dynamics they want to have happen. And you say, but so-and-so in the state legislature doesn't believe that. They'd laugh at you if you said that to them. And I'd say, well, that is the person implementing, as Vladimir Lenin said, few of our people know our philosophy. This includes the California legislature. Most are simply useful idiots who advance our cause.
And there are so many of those. So many.
But if you look, You have a lot of people that are advancing these things that are doing it on purpose. You know, they truly believe that we would be better off if, if we just stopped making decisions for ourselves, if really there was more top-down control, then we would have less crime. Then these are the same people who believe that, you know, if you take away all the guns, no one will ever get shot. And it's a little hard to logic that one through, because
you know they don't know human nature. I mean, human nature. I mean, the true human nature of a human being is never taken into account. I mean, you can't control that.
Well, this is the remake of Mankind. That for those who truly are in the know about what this is all about, it is about the effort to remake mankind and remake them as livestock of a ruling elite. And, you know, the average guy sitting in Sacramento implementing this stuff is not part of the ruling elite. He will end up like the rest of us, okay? But he's doing the programs because he gets rewarded from on top from implementing Agenda 21 ideology.
So, Michael, we've got, you know, about 3 or 4 minutes left before we wrap up the show. What's your message for folks?
Well, become aware. You can't defeat the enemy you do not know or understand. So it's become aware. And then every human being will have his or her method for contributing to this the greatest battle of all human history. And because there is a role for each of us to play. But we're shooting in the dark until we understand Agenda 21, sustainable development, and then line up with the others who are beginning to understand it, and take some action. The right action to take is always local action, because that's where the rubber hits the road. You know, we've got the World Bank, and you know, we've got the IRS, and we've got all of these globalist or national organizations. We can't do a thing about them, but we can do something when sustainable development policy hits our local town, and that begins by exposing it to the rest of our friends and associates, and ultimately it means getting people elected at local positions that will simply kick the federal government out, kick even the state government out, when they start to bark down these Agenda 21 policy mandates.
Well, it's a question. I mean, it's interesting because as 2012 rolls along, there are lots of places that we can check now to see what people believe in. Whether they're running for school board or they're running for city council or whatever they're running for, when you start asking people, they're pushed. They're pushed for time. They're pushed for money. And most of them are working as volunteers with, you know, maybe like city councils, like $600 a month or something, but you can't live on that. So when these organizations come out with these cookie cutter programs that come with funding, or they have a funding stream or a funding source, it becomes all about funding your community, and they forget where the money comes from, mm-hmm. and what the trade-off is.
Exactly. They either forget or they just choose to look the other way and not deal with what the real price to be paid is.
There's a lot going on. People are really, they're really pushed. We just had a thing I won't get into here in town with high-density housing.
Yeah.
They want to zone for it. They don't see it ever being built, but they need to zone for it if they're going to qualify for their grants, blah, blah, blah. So,
and it's now in the general plan.
Yeah. So which comes first, you know? We think the zoning. But if they didn't have the funding, what are they risking?
And this is high-density, extreme low-income housing to be put in an already economically devastated rural area.
Well, this is standard fare, and it all, you know, we haven't talked about it, but it all comes down to our monetary system. We've got a system of funny money. It's globalist in nature. It is designed to implode, and this is the mechanism for imploding our monetary system and subjugating and impoverishing all of the American people. And the best thing to do with these federal or state programs, you know, directed this way, is simply turn down the stinking money.
Yeah, just get some backbone
but we also have to educate our citizens, because it doesn't do us any good to elect good people who turn down the money, who get thrown out of office because nobody understands why they're doing it. So we have
got to know.
Yeah,
good point.
We've got to help people understand that that's okay, and it's going to be a little bit of a belt tightening deal, but once we get through it, we'll be better off.
Yeah,
that's right. Maintain control of your resources. kick the USDA and the Department of Forestry out of your county. There is no federal authority for federal ownership, no constitutional authority for federal ownership of mass expanses of land, and that's what's happened in your county and in all of America, and that's got to come to an end if we're going to solve this problem.
Well, Michael, we want to thank you very much, very much, for coming back. We had you back in February. I'm sure we'll talk again. And we're going to wrap up the show now. But again, thanks very much.
Thanks
for
a ton. And so people
show.
Jump on there, freedomadvocates.org.
Yes.
And that will
excellent
keep you busy
website
for a really long time.
And just to mention, the Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night, 6 o'clock, 2570 South Bonneview Road. Tomorrow night, join us for all things grand jury. There's a way to get involved.
Yep. And we've got updates on a whole bunch of stuff, actually. Things that are going on around the county, things that are going on around the state. So plug in, and if you're looking for a local meeting, check the website, readingteaparty.com. You're listening to We the People, a product of the Reading Tea Party. This is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media.